16. In the book of Romans, chapter 16, in Romans chapter 16, I want to read the first two verses of Romans chapter 16. The Apostle Paul is doing the writing. He's writing to the church which was located in the city of Rome at this time. And he's writing unto them about a woman. I like to think of her as a Baptist woman. Her name is Phoebe. Now you listen to what Paul says to this church. I commend, and I take it that word means I recommend, I introduce wholly unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you, this lady is a member at the church in Cenchrea. She's known as a servant, a worker, a laborer. Now Paul said, I recommend that you receive her into the church at Rome or whatever it is needs to be done, that you receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she has need of you. And here's the reason why. For or because she has been a succorer or a helper. She has been a helper of many and of myself also. Strange words from a man who wrote to the church of Corinth and said, let all your women keep silence in the churches. Not just the churches of Corinth, but all the churches. We've heard a lot about the Apostle Paul being not very nice to the women. One fellow I heard that headed up the United Church of Christ movement, when being interviewed on television one morning, the interviewer asked him, says, what do you think about what the Bible says about women keeping silence in the churches? He said, I don't like it. He said, we don't always go by what the Apostle Paul said either. He certainly didn't, did he? But I do. I believe what he wrote. But I'd like to preach to you tonight upon the subject. You brethren get this real good too. What's right about Baptist women? What's right about Baptist women? Baptist women usually take a pretty good bashing, don't they, when it comes to preaching? It seems as though that many times, and perhaps it's not meant to appear that way, but many times preachers seem to find more to preach about when they think about the women of the church than sometimes they do the men. But if you've ever noticed, in most Baptist churches, the men are usually the ones who are outstanding and recognized as the pillars of the church. But I do believe that I can find a message for you tonight concerning the subject, what's right about Baptist women. What's right about them? There are many things that we might find that's wrong, just like we can the men. But I believe that it's about time that we find some things that the Bible says are right about them. Now some of you brethren say, Brother Hall, can you do it? I've already done it several times. God gave me this one a long time ago, and I've never forgotten it. But you can find it, and you know what? When I began to study it all over again, I found God still saying the same thing about them. And I want us to take the Scriptures tonight and find out what God says that is right about Baptist women. When I use the word Baptist women, I'm talking about women who are members of real New Testament Baptist churches, just like the kind of churches we find in the New Testament Scriptures. Same kind of members. And every one of these ladies that the Bible mentions in the New Testament, I can believe with all of my heart that they were members of a New Testament church, just like you're a member of tonight. Baptist women, and before we ever get into very far, I want you to know, fellows, that Baptist women make good wives. If you're here and saved tonight and a member of this Baptist church or another Baptist church like it, if you're looking for a good wife, I recommend unto you a Baptist woman, a Baptist lady, one that's saved and a member of a New Testament Baptist church, one that's right. I find that Baptist women also not only make good wives, they make good mothers. If you plan to get married and have children, you ought to find you a good Baptist lady. And when I use the word woman, it's not in disrespect. Find you a good Baptist woman, the Lord willing, and marry her and raise your children under the influence and leadership of a good Baptist mother. Now, with that all said and done, let me show you three things that I can point out in the Scriptures tonight of what's right about Baptist women. First of all, Baptist women make good teachers. Baptist women make good teachers. Look with me in the book of Titus, chapter 2. Some of you may have heard me preach this before, and that's all right. You need it again tonight. In the book of Titus, chapter 3, and chapter 2, rather. In Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, listen to what the Apostle Paul instructs the preacher by the name of Titus concerning the women of the churches in which he was to pastor and to lead. In Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Who is the Apostle Paul talking about? Talking about Baptist women. Women who are saved and members of real New Testament missionary Baptist churches. They make good teachers of good things. They're teachers of good things. That are in order that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that are in order that the word of God be not blasphemed. Paul said that there's something about Baptist women that's good. There's something about Baptist women who are mothers and wives and daughters. And that is that they make good teachers. They can teach the younger women. They can teach the young children. And when you think about it tonight, folks, who is it that usually does most of the teaching of the children in the home? Who is it usually that does most of the teaching of the young children in the home when it gets right down to it? Look with me in the book of 2 Timothy, and I'll show you what the Scripture says. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, In 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, now Paul is writing to a young man by the name of Timothy. But listen to what he has to say about the teachings that Timothy received as a child. Beginning in verse 3 of 2 Timothy 1, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when... Here's what made him act like that. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned or the pure faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. The same kind of pure faith, the same kind of faith that Paul found in Timothy, he had already found in Timothy's grandmother and his mother. Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, listen to this. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, Paul speaking to the same young man about the same thing. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom or out of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Who do you think it was in that home that took the time to teach the scriptures to Timothy, that he might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior? When you, brethren, look back, and if you'll take just a little time to consider your wife tonight, if she's saved and a member of the Home Baptist Church, she usually spends a whole lot more time with your children than you do. And she usually talks more to them about that which is right and that which is wrong than probably you do. That's the way it is in most homes. It is the mother. It is the mother that always in her heart is more concerned about the home itself and those who dwell there than the male, than the husband. It's not that the men are not concerned, but if you notice the Apostle Paul instructing when he was talking to Titus, he said, you instruct the women, those who are teachers of good things, to be keepers at home. To be keepers. And that word keeper could mean more than just keep house, folks. But they guard the home. They guard the home. I mean, they watch out after the home. And I'm not talking about a house. I'm talking about the home that lives in that house. The wife. The Baptist mother will literally give her life for her husband and her children that make up her home. Very little recognition is given for such a woman in the day in which we live. A Baptist woman. That's what's right about them. There are those who watch her. Her children watch her. They watch every move she makes because they're with her much of the time. And she is one of their main instructors when it comes to the things of God. Very important role that our Baptist women play in keeping the home. It is usually the woman, most of the time, maybe not all the time, but it's usually the woman that fights to keep the home intact, keep it together. When you think about it, brethren, they're teachers of good things. They are teachers of good things. They're teachers of those things that will count. When you get right down to it, most of the time, in the majority of most homes, the woman or the Baptist woman, the Baptist mother, the Baptist wife, is usually the most faithful person in the house. In the home. I don't know whether we could do it here or not, but in most Baptist churches that I've ever been in, there are usually always more Baptist women present than there are Baptist men. When you think about it, isn't there? Why is that? Because of just what I said. Baptist women are usually more faithful than men. Most Baptist churches tonight have more women, more faithful women than they do, more faithful wives than they do husbands. You know why? Because there are some things that are right about Baptist women, and the Bible bears them out. Secondly, not only do Baptist women make good teachers, they make good helpers. They make good helpers. You know what a helper is? They certainly aren't the chief. They certainly aren't the head. The helper is one who stands by to give aid. One who stands by to simply do whatever's needed to make the one who is in the lead look good. I used to be a bricklayer's helper. I never got any credit for anything. I had to mix the mortar. I had to carry it. I had to set up the scaffold. I had to lay everything out. I had to carry it to them. I had to lay the bricks at their hand. I had to do all of this, clean up around the building when it was all done. And they never once told me, "Boy, that's a good job. That house looks good." Because all I was the helper. But I was the one that gave the aid. I was the one that was always contributing and distributing to make that bricklayer look good when the job was over. The helper. Did you know that that's exactly what God made the woman to be for the man? When you read over in Genesis where God says, "I will make him an help. I will make him an help." And that word "meet," folks, means I will make him a help that's fit. I will make him a help that's suitable for him. And behind every good Baptist man, you can usually always find a good Baptist woman. Whenever you can find a good Baptist preacher or pastor, you can usually find a good Baptist woman at their side. They're always there. In Romans chapter 16, let me show you something. Something that a whole lot of people have never seen and have missed altogether. In Romans chapter 16... verses 1 and 2. I've heard preachers get up and call Baptist women old cows. I never have seen a Baptist cow yet. But I've met a lot of Baptist women that I respect. In Romans chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, Paul said, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant. You know what a servant is? A servant is one who serves. A servant is one who helps. A servant is one who occupies the place of serving others. And this woman was a servant of the church, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she has need of you, for she has been a helper of many. Now listen to Paul. Not only many, and of myself also. Paul gives her credit. Paul recognizes her as a woman of the church that is willing to help. She is not a leader. She was not an ordained deacon or deaconess. She was simply a servant of the church. And Paul said she had been willing to help many. Even myself, he said. Sounds to me like a good recommendation, don't you, for a good Baptist woman. Sounds to me like you couldn't find any better recognition than for one of the greatest preachers and one of the greatest Bible writers that ever lived to say, I want the whole world to know, and I want to just keep on saying it. And Paul has just kept on saying it over and over again every time it's read. She's a helper of many, and even helped me myself. A helper of many, and of myself also. He recognized her. He gave her the honor that was due under her as a servant of the church. Simply means that she was willing to serve as a member of the church in which she was a member. But that's not all. In Romans chapter 16, verses 3 through 6, listen to this. Greet Priscilla. She was here tonight. She'd be called a Baptist woman. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers, both of them. But he mentions her first in this scripture. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Now listen to how Paul talks about this Baptist wife, just like he does in verse 4. Who have for my life laid down their own necks. Paul said that Priscilla, the Baptist wife, and Aquila, the Baptist husband, for his life were willing to lay down their own necks. She was just as willing as her husband. Unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Not only a great man, but a great Baptist woman as well. Listen in verses 5. Listen verse 5. Likewise, now listen to this, folks. Likewise, greet the church. You know what a church is, don't you? Greet the church that is in their house. Here's a Baptist wife. Here's a Baptist woman that was willing to open up her house for the church to assemble together in. She was one of those Baptist women who said, listen, if the church needs a place to meet, you have them come to our house and meet here to worship God. And Paul says, you greet the church, the assembly that is in their house. Salute my beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Now listen to verse 6. Greet Mary, another Baptist woman, who bestowed much labor on us. You see that word much? That means it was more than a little. It means that it was more than just enough. That she bestowed much labor. A lot of things that the Apostle Paul gets credit for, he never was able to accomplish it alone, but God provided some godly women to aid him in that work. She bestowed much labor on us. Isn't that wonderful? To just hear God say it. To hear God say it. To hear God say that there's something good, that there's something right about these ladies out here tonight. Sure, buddy, you could pick her to pieces, couldn't you? But you look at her tonight in the light of the Scriptures. See how she fits into your life, into your house, into your home, and into this church. And you may find a lot of good things that are right about her tonight, if you haven't already recognized it. In verses 12 through 15, listen to the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 16. In Romans chapter 16, verse 12. Salute Tryphena, that's another woman, and Tryphosa, that's another woman. Listen to what they did. Who labor in the Lord. They were workers. They were workers. A good Baptist woman will work, but she'll always be in her place as she does it. A helper. A helper. A helper. But she will be willing to work. But she always works as a helper. Isn't that what the Bible teaches? Well, go on with me in verse 12. Salute, now listen to this, salute the beloved Persis. That's another Baptist woman we think of her tonight. But Paul calls her beloved. He loved her. Listen to this. Which labored much in the Lord. Another helper. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Now listen to this one. And his mother and mine. I don't believe that this was the Apostle Paul's real mother. But I really think that it was a woman that he counted as dear as his mother. And he loved her like his own mother, and she loved him. I've known a lot of Baptist women in my time that looked upon me just as if I was their son. They'd fight you in my behalf. They'd stand by my side. They'd make sure that I had those things that they felt that I needed. They were willing to treat me as if they were my own mother. I'm sure your pastor met some of those as well. Look with me in verse 15. Salute Philologus and Julia. There's another Baptist woman as we think of her tonight. Nereus. Now listen to this. And his sister too. Said, salute his sister too. And Olympus and all the saints which are with them. All of these women, all of those that Paul speaks of in Romans chapter 16, he has something good to say about every one of them. And he talks and he tells about those things that are right about them. And that is that every one of them
were willing to do more than just enough. They were willing to do much labor. Look with me in the book of Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. I beseech Euodias, that's a Baptist woman, and beseech Syntyche, they tell me that's another Baptist lady, that they be of the same mind or think the same thing in the Lord. Now these two ladies, whatever I've heard about them, they just weren't getting along too well. But Paul said, you start thinking alike. You start thinking alike. But listen in verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. Now listen to what he says. Help those women. Did you get that, brethren? Help those women. What women? Those Baptist women. Those women that are members of your church. Help those women which labored with me in the gospel. You see that? Paul gets all of the credit. But he recognizes those who helped so wonderfully. Help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Don't tell me the Bible doesn't have anything to say about what's right about Baptist women. They make good helpers, don't they, brethren, when you think about it? You think about it. Look with me in the book of Acts, chapter 1. Let me show you one more. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 12. In Acts, chapter 1, verse 12, down through verse 14. In Acts, chapter 1, beginning in verse 12, this is when Jesus ascended back into heaven. He went back into heaven. Now notice what happens. After he went back to heaven in verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. You ever notice when you say, who was in the services last night? Well, there was brother so-and-so, and brother so-and-so, and brother so-and-so. And a lot of times, their wives don't even get recognized being there in the services. And that's the way we do when we read Scripture sometimes. Man, we can see those faithful men, can't we, all gathering together in prayer in that upper room? But Luke says, these all continued in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. The women were there praying too, just like the men. Do you think that the prayers of the men are any more important than the prayers of their ladies? I wouldn't want to do without them, would you? Because when you think about it, folks, when you think about it, the women, lots of times, you may not like this, but lots of times, the women are more ready to pray than the men. More ready to pray than the men, many times. But all of these scriptures tell us what's right. And every one of these women in the scriptures worked so quietly that the only time you hear about them is when the Apostle Paul mentioned them in these scriptures. The only time you hear about them is when he mentions them. They don't get mentioned very often. They don't get called by name very often. You know why? Because good Baptist women are willing to work quietly. They're willing to work hard, but they work quietly behind the scenes. One of the greatest examples for you folks is when you put on the Bible conference. Man, we sit around, we talk, drink coffee, and eat, and fellowship, and pay very little attention to those ladies as they hurry and scurry. Some of them stay up half the night. Some of them get up early in the morning and cook and bake and fix and get over here and put it all together and get it all together. And they don't walk around with a badge on and says, "I'm one of the helpers." They just do it. They just do it quietly. Nobody ever gives them a badge of honor. Nobody ever puts out a monument to them and said, "This is to honor all the ladies that work so hard, so quietly, to see that the conference goes off as smoothly as it does." But not only do they all do that, but look how many of them sing. Willing to stay around and help clean. Do whatever else has to do. Get the children ready. Get the husband ready to get to the house of God. Quietly, behind the scene. And then all of those good Baptist women that are willing to help take care of the pastor and his wife. It just blesses my heart sometimes to hear some lady church member say, "Ah, listen, that'd be good for our pastor and his wife. That'd be good for our pastor and his wife," they'd say. Always thinking about them. Quietly, but they think about them because they love them. Lots of times it's the ladies who don't speak out audibly, but they do have some pretty good ideas sometimes, don't they, brethren? Pastors' wives, unless you are a pastor's wife or has been, you don't know what it's like. I'll tell you what, some of the most valuable women in all of this world are pastors' wives. I wouldn't want to be without mine tonight. She's valuable to me. She's valuable to my ministry. She's valuable to our home, to my son. You see, I can see all of this. I can see these things. And a pastor's wife is valuable to a church. That's some things that are right about Baptist women. A pastor's wife is a great help. You just don't know everything that goes on in the life and in the heart of a pastor. And a lot of things that you folks never find out about, his wife does. She's the one that takes him by the hand and says, "We'll make it, honey. We'll make it. God will help us make it. We can do it. You can do it. I'll pray for you. I've been praying for you. I'll keep on praying for you. And we'll see it out together." There are a lot of things that Baptist men can't do very well. There's one thing that Baptist men can't do at all. And that's have babies. Women can do that real well. I'm thankful for them. Good Baptist women. They make good teachers, they make good helpers, last of all. They make good givers. They make good givers. Most of the time when it comes to talking about giving, the honor and the credit usually goes to the Baptist men, which is okay. They deserve it. But at the same time, folks, the Bible says that Baptist women make good givers as well. Let me show that to you. Look with me in the book of Luke chapter 8. Now what I'm showing you is every one of these women that I've mentioned were members of a New Testament Baptist church, or a New Testament church, if you want to call it that. I believe it'd be called Baptist today. In the book of Luke chapter 8, in the book of Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, here's what you miss a lot of times sometimes when we read. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 1, "And it came to pass afterward that Jesus went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him." And that's about as far as you ever get. That's about as far as you ever get. "And the 12 were with him." But listen to the following word. "And." They weren't alone. It wasn't just Jesus and the 12. "And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna the wife of Chusam, Herod stood, and Susanna, and many others." Many others who? Many other women. "Which ministered unto Jesus of their substance." That means that these women were willing to take what they had to see to it that Jesus had those necessities, or those things that were necessary for himself. They gave of their substance. They were willing to do so, to give unto him that which they wanted him to have out of a heart of love of what he has done for them. You see it? Many others, not just a few that were named, but many others, took of what they had and gave it unto the Lord. I've always asked Sandra, before I give an offering, I always say, "Sandra, what do you think? How much should we give? What do you..." And if I have a thought what the Lord would have us do, I tell her. If she thinks that's the Lord's will, she say, I agree with that. Sometimes she even says, "I think it ought to be a little more." You know why Baptist women can do that? The Bible says it's right for them to. It's right for them to do that. They do that because they're good givers. They are good givers. You think about it, folks. When you think about the ladies, you think about how much time the ladies give in the service of the church. Think about it. Don't they? It's usually the men get most credit. But the women do a lot of work. They do what they can as women, but it's important work and it's great work. They do it because they love the Lord and they want to give their time unto the Lord. They spend a lot of time in this thing. Look with me in the book of Matthew chapter 27. In the book of Matthew chapter 27, verses 55 and 56. In Matthew chapter 27, verses 55 and 56. Jesus Christ dying on the cross. But listen to this. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. These women had dedicated themselves to following Jesus, ministering unto his need. Isn't that wonderful? Baptist women, among which was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. They followed him from Galilee to Jerusalem, where he was crucified, ministering unto him. When came time for him to die, they stood afar off in the shadows, but they were there where they could see him. They make good givers, ministering unto his need. You talk about all of those Baptist women who are willing to give up a part of their husband's life. I mean, a part of their husband's time, perhaps I ought to put it like that. But there are times when a preacher says, "Honey, they want me to come. And they want me to stay a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it is. They want me to come." Or he gets a call early in the morning in the darkest hours of the night and said, "We need you." And he has to look at his wife and said, "Honey, I've got to go." She says, "You go on. You go on. I'll be all right." And he goes. You think about all those Baptist mothers who have given their sons to the Lord when he called them to preach, and watched them leave to go far distances away from home to serve God. They give them up willingly, joyfully unto the Lord. You think about all of those mothers and wives who their daughters fall in love with a Baptist preacher and is going to take her off 2,000, 3,000, 10,000 miles away from mama's life, and she gives her over to the Lord. They make good givers, all of these things. But when you get right down to it, it is the Baptist woman or the Baptist women that are usually the unsung heroes. You don't hear much about them. Don't hear too much about them. And I'm just wondering, brethren, when's the last time you looked at her right in the eyes and told her that you loved her and told her that you thank God for her, and that she's meant so much to you and your family and your life? You have anything to be thankful tonight for about your wife? When's the last time you saw something right in her life and complimented her on it? She may not be able to think everything you think she ought to be, but you're not everything she hoped for either, most of the time. Sandra's usually always telling me, she says, "You're always right."